Hey everybody, Mark Ashton here, coming to you with Project 44, the October 8th edition, where you have started one of my favoritest books in the whole world. It's the book of Nehemiah, and I hope you've been enjoying your reading of Nehemiah. It's one of the all-time great studies on leadership, and so I thought I would explain this book through the leadership lens. Now, the first thing I'd like to point out to you today is that Nehemiah was already a very important man when the book opens up. He's known as the cupbearer to the king, King Artaxerxes, that is. And that tells us that he was a very well-trusted servant of the king. In a day when lots of people were trying to drop arsenic into the king's wine, somebody had to taste the wine first in order to prove that the king wasn't trying to be poisoned. So one of his most trusted advisors would do that, the guy who was in charge of all the processes to get the stuff to the king. And many ancient monarchs, because they were poisoned, they picked their most trusted people to be their cupbearer. And that is exactly what Nehemiah was. Now, did you notice that when Nehemiah came to make his big request before King Artaxerxes, that this bullet prayer was mentioned in the reading? Oh, bullet prayer is that quick, like, God help me, that you send up when you're in an emergency situation and you need to get God's work helping for you fast. Well, Nehemiah prays this kind of prayer, and that makes me feel good because there's a number of times I walk into situations where I am just like, oh, God, help me with this one. Now, this wasn't the first time Nehemiah had been praying. He had been praying and fasting for 4 months ever since he found out that his beloved home city was in ruins and the gates were burned down. And so, after all of this praying, he shoots a final arrow prayer up, and the king looks at him and says, "What is wrong with you? Why are you so sad today?" It's the opportunity that Nehemiah has been looking for. It's also a crisis because you're not supposed to show your personal feelings in front of the king. If you show sadness, you could be killed for it. And so what he says is, you know what, I've got a problem with what's going on in my home city of Jerusalem, right after he prays his prayer. Now, the interesting thing that I want to note about this little bullet prayer and the fervent prayer that precedes it is that having a robust personal prayer life, when you've been fervent and praying hard, puts you in such a zone of divine connection with God that these quick prayers are easily heard and the lines are wide open. If you've been out of touch with God for a long time, sometimes it's hard to feel like you're getting through with those quick prayers. But when your life is so aligned with Him, oh, it just creates open corridors. It's also in order here to note that careers in politics and government ought not to be considered inappropriate for Christians, as though it would be utterly impossible for a person to follow that career track and remain an honest person, a person of high integrity. Sometimes Christians say that about important political and governmental jobs or any government or political jobs, but the truth is we need guys like Nehemiah in the service to our government. I'm glad Nehemiah was there, and I'm glad when there's people of integrity that are serving on our national, state, and local scenes. So I pray that God will raise up some of the finest young people from our church to be leaders in government, for society, and the next generation, as well as in the media and in education and other key places of influence. You see, God doesn't call everyone to what we erroneously call full-time Christian service, as if no one but a preacher or missionary gives full-time. He calls many gifted people into all kinds of service, and some of that is government service, and maybe that's where God's calling you. Well, Nehemiah says that Artaxerxes granted his request because, quote, "the gracious hand of my God was upon me." The use of the very same expression that we found so frequently in Ezra's book shows us how close the connection is between these two leaders. When people spend enough time together, they oftentimes start to use common language and expressions. That's just one thing that shows that Nehemiah and Ezra hung out together. Well, Nehemiah's leadership was also brilliant in that he had prayed and planned so well that he knew exactly what resources he would need. So when the king says yes, he knows exactly what he would say. So what did he evaluate? Well, Jerusalem at this point was impoverished, and it was under attack. They didn't have the supplies to build a wall. They didn't have the protection to build a wall. They were hopeless to succeed if they couldn't get those resources. Nehemiah knew this, even from hundreds of miles away. So he had a master plan in place if Artaxerxes said yes. Nehemiah asked for and got some letters from Artaxerxes to provide him with safe conduct and the supplies that he would need. One of those letters was directed to Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest. The people of Jerusalem could have never rebuilt their walls unless they had those kinds of resources. They needed raw materials they could never afford. So when Nehemiah shows up, he brings not only hope, but he brings the resources that they need. You know, Nehemiah is a great leader in this. He prays and he plans. Great leaders always do both. Some people might think that praying is not that helpful or that planning is unspiritual. But wherever you see great leaders, you see people who both pray and plan. Nehemiah creates other action that exhibits leadership brilliance as well. Here's some of his leadership brilliant moves in these first three chapters. One, he researches. He gets the facts by visiting the wall at night before he vision casts. Nobody can ever accuse him of not knowing what he's talking about because he saw it personally. Vision casting, number two, before the whole community, he gives a clear and compelling vision, highlighting the problem, the solution, and calling people to action. That's what leaders do. They define the problem, they give the solution, they call people to action. Three, division of labor. He assigns people to a portion of the wall that they'll have ownership over. Did you notice this? All the lists of all the people and all the places that they were was all to basically show that Nehemiah assigns people to the portion of the wall. And later on we'll learn in Nehemiah that he assigns them to a place in the wall that's near their house. So they're motivated to do the work well because an army might come and attack their family at that point in the wall and they want to make sure that it has been done well. So Nehemiah divides the labor, calls the course of action. He's done his research and his vision casting. Friends, everything rises and falls on leadership. Great leaders mobilize people to accomplish great things. Great leaders put everybody into play. Great leaders research, vision cast, gain resources, develop a plan, and put people in action. So I have to ask you this question. What has God called you to lead? What has He called you to lead? Your family? A small group? People in the workplace, at the church, leadership matters. So let's do it like Nehemiah and do it well.